Good morning, church. It is so good to see you and to be with you on this, as David put it, a little bit of a dreary winter morning. But man, it is does not feel dreary in here, does it? I'm telling you, that was a great time of worship. So thankful that we get to do that just every Sunday. Every Sunday, it seems like it's another great day of worship. And I want to be the second to congratulate Jonathan on his upcoming birthday. I didn't realize you were that much older than me, but it doesn't even hardly show. Just a little bit. No, it's, 50 years. I got my first mailer from AARP the other day. They are on the ball. I am telling you, I don't know who runs the rest of the country, but AARP ought to be in charge, because they are ready. And so my wife, I got this AARP thing, and I thought it was kind of funny. My wife thought it was good enough to make a Christmas tree decoration out of it, and it hung there on the tree for everyone to come to our house to see my AARP letter there on the tree. So there you go. That's what you get. On a completely unrelated note, I forgot to ask for help with Devos. If you would like to help with Upward Devotionals on Saturdays, some of you have done that in the past and done just a great job, and some of you think that might be something you want to try this year, just let me know. Russ did a great job this past Saturday, I'm going to do this coming Saturday, and after that, it is fair game, first come, first served, and I look forward to seeing what you all come up with to teach the kids and their families that are there in attendance for the Upward Games. The lesson, you only have 5 minutes, so whatever you do, it better be fast, is what I have learned. And just keep it brief, keep it simple. Send out a message that well represents Christ and the Forest Mill Church of Christ. I want us to start today by thinking a little bit about your daily routine. And I realize every day's a little different, especially maybe weekends for you if you don't work on the weekends. But what does your average day look like? How does your average day go? For me, it is when I get up. First thing I do is I let the dogs out, and then they come in. I feed them, and then I make coffee, and then I grab some breakfast, and then I get dressed and go to the bus garage, drive a bus route, get back to the office about 8 o'clock. Then I'm at the office, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It goes on like that kind of throughout the day. And the point is, I have a routine. Like every day, it's sort of this similar, if not exactly the same, routine. Most of us, I would say, probably have a stable routine. Some of us have extremely stable routines. If you're retired or if your job is flexible in that sort of way, you can kind of set up every day the same, doing the same thing every day in the same order. Well, in the 6th century, St. Benedict wrote what was called a rule of life. Now, how many of you have heard of a rule of life before? Raise your hand. Just me. Now, there's a couple of you out there, but not many of us. We don't really talk about this much. We don't get much into ancient church history very often, but we need to talk about this a little bit, because a rule of life is just a consciously chosen routine for living. It comes from this Greek word that for the word trellis. Now, some of you who have raised maybe roses, you know what a trellis is, right? It's just a tool that allows a vine to get up off the ground, to get more sunlight, be more productive, produce more fruit. All it is just this frame, this tool to sort of give shape. That's all a rule of life is. A rule of life does for your time what a budget does for your finances. And boy, if ever there was a good selling point, everybody wants to do a budget, right? But a rule of life tells your time where to go instead of just sort of being spent randomly or whatever happens next. And you're at the end of the day and you're wondering, where did all the time go? How did I use it? Now, you may recall last week we talked about this link between our behaviors and our beliefs. Do you remember that? This is yes, this is no. Some of you may remember it. I'm going to put it up there. We're going to say it again together. Ready? Beliefs beget behaviors. Beliefs beget behaviors, right? What we believe changes what we do. Beliefs are the what you actually believe is the greatest indicator of how you will act, right? What you believe is the greatest indicator of how you'll ultimately act. If you believe that the highway is totally safe, you are much more likely to walk out onto the highway. Or if you believe that the interstate is inherently dangerous, you're much more likely to not drive on the interstate, right? What we believe is a huge indicator of how we are going to act. But now we need to talk about the flip side of that coin, because that is entirely true. I don't want to diminish that in the least, but it is on a coin, and that is half of what we need to know. Because if we only think about and talk about this first part, then what we'll do is we'll solely focus on our beliefs and we'll miss out on this other greatest tool that God has equipped in our arsenal. And the tool is this: what you do changes who you are. What you actually do changes who you are. The things that you do on a day-to-day basis, they don't just change the world around you. Like if you, for instance, I get up and I feed the dogs, and that absolutely affects the dogs, right? That changes their world. It changes the rhythms of our household. It affects things out in the world. But it doesn't just affect things out there. It also affects me in here. What we do changes us. Or to put it another way, we want to put this in a way we can remember, it is conduct changes character. Conduct changes character. We want to say this one together too. Ready? Conduct changes character. One more time, conduct changes character. Do you remember when Jesus called his disciples? I mean, it was just nearly a very similar story. Every time. What did he do? Do you remember? What did he tell them? This is what he tells us in Matthew 16:24. He says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me.'" Follow me. Now that was the recurring phrase, like when he went to Peter, Andrew, James, and John, and he says, you know, "Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." We came across Matthew, the tax collector, who was sitting in the tax booth doing his job there. And of all the people for Jesus to go to, he goes up to this tax collector, lowest of the low. And Jesus says to him, "You come follow me." Calls Matthew out of that tax collector's booth. And Matthew literally gets up out of his literal position at this literal tax booth and follows Jesus. This was not a metaphor. This was not like, "Follow me. Yeah, I'm going to follow that." This was not like Instagram or Twitter where you follow someone. This was a literal following. Jesus is walking that way. I'm going to walk over this way. I'm going to see what Jesus sees. I'm going to hear what Jesus says. And I'm going to do what Jesus did. That's what it means to follow, to literally do what Jesus does. So when Jesus calls his disciples, he says virtually this, a very similar thing every time. Follow me. Follow me. Why not? Because that's not generally the way we do it. We think, teach them, right? Why didn't Jesus just teach them? Why didn't Jesus give Matthew the plan of salvation? It's just 5 steps. It's super easy, right? Why didn't he just do that? Why did they have to actually go with Jesus and do what Jesus did? Because Jesus knows that you and I, we learn best by doing. We're not super good lecture changers. We're really good changers by action. Jesus knew that in imitating him, in doing what he does, that we become fundamentally changed. Now, this is not divorced. Remember, it's the flip side of the coin. This is not divorced from belief. If you don't believe in Jesus and you're just doing what Jesus does for the sake of doing what Jesus does, it really doesn't matter. It's not going to change you. In the same way, you know, you could have me sit down and listen to a bunch of lectures about, you know, the planet being flat. I don't believe that, but if you want me to do that, then I'll sit down and listen to it. It's not going to really change me. It's not going to change my life. But in conjunction with belief, actions really matter. So to later on, in the book of this is 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Christ wants you to do what he did. Now the thing is, for most of us, we say to ourselves, well, you know, I'd love to do that, but I'm sort of booked up, right? Most of my day is already accounted for. I'm already doing what I can. I get up and I feed the dogs and I make coffee and I've already got my day sort of planned out. The last thing I need to do is add feed the dogs, make coffee, be like Jesus, then have breakfast. I mean, you know, adding another thing to my day, that just doesn't work out very well. At the same time, we know we're called to imitate Christ, to do what Christ did, to do follow him in his steps, because doing what Jesus did, accompanied by faith, is what will fundamentally change us. It will make us more like Christ. So how do we do it? And the answer is not by accident. Coming to church here on Sunday mornings is a great thing. Singing worship songs, it's a great thing. Praying together, great thing. Giving of our funds, taking the Lord's Supper, all great things. But if we want to really be changed to be like Christ, what we need is more than a once a week occasion. What we need is a plan for daily action. And this plan to do what Jesus did and become more like him, that is known in the spiritual tradition as a rule of life. That's just what it's called. Now, there's nothing fancy about this. This is not real deep. It's not easy. It's not fast. And I assure you, it is not magic. In the same way that those of you who are students, you didn't become as good a student as you are overnight or over a week or over a month or even over the course of a year, right? It's taken time, built up, and you add it on a little bit year after year. If you're a worker, you didn't become as competent as you are at your job, whatever that job is, overnight. It took several days and weeks and months and even years for most of us. We become better husbands and wives, but not without work. Now, you didn't magically transform into perfect parents when they popped out, right? That took some real change to get there. If we want to become more like Jesus, we have to make a plan to get there. Now, I'm not going to ask you to walk out. This is not your job. This is on the list of not your jobs today. This is not asking you to go out and say, well, I guess I better go figure out how to be like Jesus and sit down and write about that, write out an entire rule. I'm not talking about something elaborate. What I'm asking for you to do today is two things. Just two things. That's all you have to do today. Number one, you need to answer this question. This is a question you can answer right here and right now. And that question is, am I okay dancing to the same chaotic and hectic song that the rest of the world is dancing to? Am I okay living at a rhythm of life that looks just like everybody else out there? Get up, feed the dogs, make the coffee, go to breakfast, go to work. Is that okay? If that rhythm is good for you, if that is working for you, then this lesson is not for you and you have to do nothing. You're completely done. Congratulations, you win. But if that's not working for you, then we have some more work to do. If you are comfortable, you're not going to change. Don't worry about it. But, of course, we never change until we're sick to death of where we are. We will never try a new way until we figure out the old way is not working. And I hope that you have figured out how broken the old way is. But if not, it's just going to take some time. But if you see the direction that your life is going, if you see that that's broken and you want something better, then here's the second thing you need to do. Number one, answer this question. Number two, I want you to consider some ways in which you want your song, your life, to be different. If you see the rhythm of everybody else and you're like, no, that is not working, how do you want your rhythm to be different? How do you want your relationship with your spouse, your relationship with your kids, your life at your work, how do you want that to be different? How do you want your relationship with God to be different than what Joe, your neighbor, no offense, Joe, is what his relationship with God is like? If you want something different, then we need to talk some more. Do you experience God as closely as you'd like to? Is God as real to you as you'd like for him to be? Do you live your life with a sense of peace like Jesus? Do you see amazing fruits coming from your life on a regular basis that you can't even really understand or explain? So let's be practical for a moment. 1 year from now, you are going to be 1 year older regardless of what happens. I mean, if you walk out here and do nothing, you're going to come back in a year, and it's going to, regardless of what you choose, you're going to be a year older. The question is, what are you going to do with this next year? Will you live more intentionally, more in line with what you want to be? Or are you going to spend another year drifting? Now, for those of you who are paying attention to life, you know we're not guaranteed another year, right? We don't know for sure if any of us is going to live throughout this next year. But provided we do have one more year, how are we going to spend it? What will it be? I want to tell you about a really interesting old book. It's called The Sayings of the Desert Fathers. Now, these were Christians way early in the life of the church, like 200 to 400 AD, really, really, really early. And it's a collection of these Christians from Egypt. There were a lot of Christians who migrated to Egypt. And these early Egyptian Christians who lived in this really dedicated life, they were called the Desert Fathers. And it tells us this fascinating story of their rhythms. There was one particular guy, he was called Antony of Egypt. Now, this is a picture when he's older, but when he was a young guy, he goes to live in these harsh regions of Egypt that are really east of the Nile. And he has one simple but daring goal in mind. In his mind, he wants to strip away every distraction from this world and offer everything of himself up to God. He wants to give God his whole heart. He wants to get away from everything else and just give himself to God. And so Antony pursues this life with God with a level of intensity that is really difficult for most of us to imagine. And this pursuit led him to a lot of really incredible spiritual experiences. He records having visions of Christ and battles with evil spirits and divine revelations. I mean, he has this really deep spiritual life. But even given all that, he becomes really discouraged, like just like you and me. Antony gets the point. He does like, is anything I'm doing making any difference? Am I really achieving anything out here with God? And he was really conscious of his sins. Again, like you and me, Antony, he knows he's not living up to what he should be. And so he feels far from God. So I think even despite Antony's really dedicated life, we can relate. So in his anxiety, he turns to prayer, and he recorded his prayer. He wrote it down. We got it passed down to us, and this was his prayer. He said, "Lord, I want to be made whole by your grace, but this discouragement will not leave me alone. What can I do? How can I be made whole?" And so as he finishes praying, he opens the door of his little room, his cell, and he caught sight, he records, of an angel that was sitting there and weaving a basket. I know, it's a wild story. This angel is weaving a basket, and then at this point, the angel sets the basket aside. He stands up, and he stretches out his hands, and then he prays. And he finishes praying, he sits back down and works. And as Anthony is watching this unfold in his doorway, the angel turns to him and smiles and says, "Anthony, just do this, and then you'll be made whole." Now, to Anthony, this point was immediately clear. There was no astounding revelation. There was not another vision. There was not another explanation. Instead, it was just a model of rhythm for living. And that rhythm became known as work and pray. Work and pray. Work and pray. And so that's what Anthony did. He would get up in the morning and he would pray, and then he would work, and then he would pray, and then he would work. That was the rhythm for his day. In the Latin, it became known as ora et laboris, which they spoke way more than English back then. And so it was just this rhythm of life, and Anthony did it, and others saw how it transformed him, how it changed community around him, how it changed the people that he served. And so others began imitating this life, this rhythm, this rule, ora et labora, work and pray, work and pray. Just do this in this way, quietly and faithfully, and you'll find the wholeness that you seek. So this became a rule of life, not just for Anthony, but again, for those who followed after him, and they changed the world. Made a huge difference, not just in their own lives, but in the lives of those they interacted with. But the thing about a rule of life is it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. What we have is the principle that conduct changes character. And that's true. But it's not the same conduct for every one of us, because you're going to get up tomorrow morning and your day is going to look drastically different than mine. In fact, some of you have been married to the same people for years and years, and your days are even going to be a little different. So that same rule doesn't fit everybody. In fact, it probably won't look exactly the same for any of us. What is important is not the exact things we do, but that we are doing an imitation of Christ. And so over the next 3 weeks, we're going to talk about six different areas. We're going to look at two each week in ways that we can imitate Christ and build a rule of life for ourselves. This is not, again, this is not world changing, but it's your world changing, because you're going to be examining how you live each day and how we can more faithfully live each day. That same rhythm, only with Christ. How to live in a way that changes us and changes the world around us. We're going to be looking at the life of Jesus and the historic life of the church, and focusing on these six particular areas that we see repeated over and over and over again in lives of discipleship. Now this morning, maybe you have answered that question, that you, the rhythm that you have been dancing to, the rhythm of the rest of the world, is not working. Maybe it's desperately not working for you, and you need help. You need prayers of the church, you need encouragement, you need strength, you need someone to walk alongside you, and we want you to know that's part of what life of the church is supposed to be for. We're supposed to be there for each other. And we want to be there for you this morning. If there's any way we can help you, whether it's coming to Christ and putting on Christ in baptism, washing away your sins, and beginning rising to walk and learning this new life, or if you are a Christian who just needs to learn a better way of living, if you need our help this morning, Don't hesitate. Come now as we stand and as we sing.